Happy Easter, everybody. I'm going to be talking about resurrection today. Big surprise, I know, to you, okay? The message is entitled The Valley of the Shadow, Sleep, and Life Finds a Way. And I'm so excited for this. I'll try to contain myself, but it probably won't work. Let's start with the Valley of the Shadow. In the United States, I feel like we do a pretty good job celebrating Easter by and large. The one problem is we don't really pay enough attention to Good Friday, which is the day that Jesus died on the cross. We tend to forget that there can be no resurrection without death. Death is actually an important part of the equation of Easter, to which I say, dang it, because I don't like death. I really not a big fan. I wish we could just skip this part of the story, but we can't. I can see why our culture tries to ignore death, though, because death is scary. I've only met two people in my life who have told me they're not afraid of death, and I actually believe them. One is sitting in the room with you, one is not. The rest of the people that said they're not afraid to death, I was just secretly in my heart judging them and going, you big fat liar, yes you are. You will scream like a little kid right before you die. You know, I'm just being honest with you. Maybe some of you are actually afraid of dying, but maybe you're afraid to admit it. Because if you think, oh, if I admit that I'm afraid to die, then that means I'm admitting that I don't really have enough faith. No, that's not true at all. You've got faith. You're just a fraidy cat. And that is absolutely okay. There are lots of fraidy cats in this room, and I'm one of them. If you ask me, Tim, are you afraid to die? I'd say, yeah, don't like pain. I still have faith. I believe in the resurrection, but I'm just not wild about the whole process of dying. Scary, 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 scary. Hate it, okay? I love what famous actress Hedy Lamarr said way back about 100 years ago about this whole thing. She said, I don't fear death because I don't fear anything I don't understand. When I start to think about it, I order a massage and it goes away. And I read that and thought, that is so perfect. She was obviously a fellow fraidy cat. Well, of course, most of us are afraid of death because our culture has done its best to try to ignore death or at least avoid it as much as possible. Think about it. Funerals, for example. We don't even use the word funeral anymore. We call them celebrations of life. We don't even like to say the word death. And then open casket funerals. Most of you have never been to an open casket funeral because we don't like to look at death. And personally, I'm okay with that one because the whole creepiness factor, I'm all right with that one, but it is a thing. And then dying at home. About 40 years ago, most people died in their own homes, 40 to 50 years ago and beyond. Most people died at homes. Nowadays, hardly anybody dies at home. We die in hospitals and hospice centers or care facilities. So a whole generation of young people is growing up having never even witnessed the process of death. Which is why a friend of mine bought his kids sick and old pets on purpose because he wanted them to see death, which I thought was also creepy, okay? But we're so afraid of death, we even say ridiculous things to people who have lost loved ones so that we don't have to think about death. We'll go up to people and say things like, well, at least he died doing something he loved. What the? Oh, are you kidding me? We say that to people? We actually say that to people. That phrase should be two separate sentences. He was doing something he loved, period. Then he died. Sad face emoji, okay? You shouldn't combine that into one giant sentence because if you die while you're doing one of your favorite activities, it puts a damper on your favorite activity, does it not? So death is just not a fun topic for most of us. Some of you saw the Barbie movie. You know who you are, okay? No judging, you're still loved and accepted here, all right? But I have to admit, there is one scene in the Barbie movie that is worth the price of admission. Barbie is in the midst of this sparkly dance party in her Barbie dream house, and she's surrounded by the other Barbies and all these guests, and they're all having a good time. There's smiles and laughter. It's just a joyous occasion. Then all of a sudden, Barbie just blurts out of nowhere, do you ever think about dying? And it was so great. Silence befalls the room. It's just crickets. It's so awkward and so great. This is why Easter is so wonderful. Yes, today we're going to celebrate the resurrection, but we're also going to admit the reality of death. We stop trying to ignore it. I find this so refreshing. I think Barbie's onto something. I am 62 years old and a grandpa now. And I got to tell you, as you age, it gets harder and harder to ignore the reality of death. First of all, because all the musicians and movie stars and TV stars that you grew up idolizing and admiring, they start to cark it right and left. They just die right and left. I was looking just online. I came across this article about the show Gilligan's Island, which I know I'm dating myself, but in the 70s, I would run home from school to watch this show about these people that were shipwrecked on a desert island, and it starred a guy named Gilligan. And I was reading all about the old show, and it was bringing back fond memories of my childhood. Then I realized all the actors in the show are dead. Gilligan's dead. Ginger, Marianne, the professor, dead, dead, dead. The whole cast is dead. It was chilling, and I thought, that's what happens when you age. And not only that, when you age, you'll start to get mail from AARP. You didn't ask for it. You didn't give them your address. They just know you're old, and so they start sending you retirement stuff. Oh, it's so bad. And yes, aging makes us face the reality of death, but that's actually okay, because if you're a fraidy cat like me, I've discovered something that helps me so much with my fear of death, and it's a verse out of Psalm 23, which is used in a lot of celebrations of life, so to speak, okay? And it says this, and this is King David, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley," or most of your versions say the valley of the shadow of death, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This is such great news. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow, even when we die, Jesus is there. We don't go through death alone. We are walked through it by our Savior. To which I say the phrase that my wife has been saying a lot lately when she's excited, heck yeah, okay? I am so excited about that I get to be walked through something I'm afraid of. And all the fraidy cats rejoiced at that verse. Now let's talk about sleep for a bit. You might be thinking, what does sleep have to do with Easter? Actually, a lot, because sleep is a reminder of several things. First of all, it's a reminder that we are not machines. We're not designed for perpetual motions. We are all humans, and we have to rest. We have to sleep. But sleep is also a reminder of several other things. First of all, it's a reminder that we are mortal, that we're all going to die. There's a radio show called This American Life that some of you maybe have listened to, and Ira Glass stars in it. And in one episode, he says these words, "Sleeping goes hand in hand with the fear of death. It's a small taste of the big sleep." Yeah, it is. Sleep reminds you of the big sleep of death. This is probably why the Bible uses the words sleep and death interchangeably all the time, even in the same verse. Look at this verse out of Psalm 13. "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death." It uses sleep and death together. It's also probably why some of us older people in here were taught to recite this nightmare-inducing prayer before we went to bed every night. And the prayer goes like this: "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." Good start, right? "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." What were our parents thinking? That is so terrifying for a little kid to pray this, but at least it let us know that sleep and death are somehow connected. But here's the good news. I don't want to give you all bad news at this point. Here's the good news. Yes, sleep is a reminder of the big sleep that we call death, but it's also a reminder of resurrection, because every morning that we awaken in this life is a foretaste of the fact that one day we will awaken in the next life, okay? Which brings us to our third point, life finds a way. Most of you know that those words are from a movie called Jurassic Park, where one of the main characters kind of says it and he kind of stutters on the word, life finds a way. But I love that line. It's like the theme of Easter. Now, I realize that many people around us are not excited about the whole concept of resurrection and eternal life. Maybe some of you, if you were being honest, aren't excited about the thought of eternity. I get it, because some people picture eternity as being in a place where these fat, naked babies play harp music all the time, and the streets and buildings look like they were decorated by Liberace. I'm dating myself. Google him, okay? You'll understand. And to top it off, they're thinking, well, there's probably only one TV channel in heaven, and it's not going to be ESPN or HBO Max. Definitely not going to be HBO Max. Okay, it's probably going to be the Hallmark channel. So that means we're going to suffer through an endless supply of Jane Austen movies for all of eternity. But let me say this, eternal life with God is actually going to be spectacular. Scripture pointedly tells us it's going to be better than our minds can even conceive. I mean, think about it. Life without death, life without disease, without tears, without heartache, without racism, without war, without other atrocities, sign me up. And if you don't think heaven will be fantastic, you're underestimating the creative genius of God. Let me just say one sentence to sum that up. God can do stuff. You can trust God. God's going to make it spectacular. We will probably spend our first 1,000 years in heaven running through the streets just yelling, wee, 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 like the last little piggy, okay? Let me end this message. I want to share some truths about resurrection that if you're not excited about eternity, this will get you excited about eternity and resurrection. First of all, resurrection happens in the dark. I want to put up one verse from John chapter 20, and it's a scene at the resurrection of Jesus. Early on the first day of the week, which would have been Sunday for them, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So nobody had seen Jesus yet, and she goes there. She's so eager to take care of the body of Jesus and prepare for the final burial that she goes in the dark. And I thought about that, and I thought, right now the world seems like a dark and scary place to me. In fact, the darkest and scariest it's ever seemed to me in my life. And it can make people feel hopeless and full of despair. That's how Mary would have felt. Jesus, one of her closest friends, the person she believed to be the Son of God, was dead. She would have been hopeless and full of despair. But hear me when I say this to you. It's not as dark as you think it is right now. Scientists have discovered these cool little things called neutrinos, and they're complicated to describe. They're not visible with the human eye, but they're tiny slivers of a kind of light that pass through the whole universe, and they even millions of them pass through our body every day, and we're not aware of it. But it tells us something. The presence of neutrino tells us that the universe is pulsing with light even on the darkest day. Even though the human eye thinks there is such a thing as total darkness, there actually isn't. There is always light around us. And the same is true in our world today. Yes, things seem bleak and dark right now, but the world is actually pulsing with light in the form of millions of people around the world doing good, kind, and loving things to the people around them. Darkness gets all the headlines, but light is actually more powerful. The smallest sliver of light can extinguish the most immense amount of darkness. Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, happened at night, and I think that's on purpose because it tells us we do not have to be afraid of the dark, because God is at work in the night shift. Light and life are on the way, and in fact, they're already here. That's what it tells us. The second truth I want to tell us is this: resurrection is a miracle. As a pastor, maybe this has happened to you too, but as a pastor, people will always come up and ask me questions, and one of the questions will be, well, how was Jesus resurrected from the dead? How is that even possible? And how is God going to resurrect all the other humans on the planet? I have no idea. That is so far above my pay grade. And if any pastor does try to answer that question for you, don't go to that church, because they're making stuff up, okay? Nobody knows. The resurrection is miraculous. I don't even understand how I can talk into an electronic device and it can send my voice halfway across the world in some sort of electronic sorcery, okay? How am I going to understand how the resurrection happens? When it comes to miracles, though, I love what Einstein said, and I shared this quote with some of you a few weeks ago. He said this: there are only two ways of looking at life. One is if nothing is a miracle, and the other as if everything is. And I choose the latter, because when you think about it, we are surrounded by miracles every day. Again, I told some people in our church a while ago that scientists estimate that 275 million stars are birthed every day in our ever-expanding universe. God's word, "Let there be light," is still going out into the universe and happening. That's miraculous. And then there's snowflakes. In a single drop of water, there are 5 sextillion atoms. That's a lot of zeros. 5 sextillion atoms, look it up, in a single drop of water. Several drops of water combine to make a single snowflake, and every snowflake is an original work of art. I want to show you some pictures of snowflakes, and these were taken in the early 1900s by a guy named William Snowflake Bentley. Is that not the greatest name, nickname ever? William Snowflake Bentley. He spent his life photographing different snowflakes, and he did it because he was so impassioned about them. He believed every snowflake to be, I quote, "a miracle of beauty." And I agree, they are miracles. And then there's our human brains. Oh, catch this. We all have brains. Most of our politicians evidently do not. Yes, I said it. I had to, okay? I felt the need. But the average, getting back to the human brain, the average human brain contains enough nerve fibers. Your brain contains enough nerve fibers. If you were to stretch out your nerve fibers end to end, they would encircle the globe 4 times. Just one brain has that many nerve fibers. We are all walking miracles of science. Life is full of miracles. We are surrounded by them. And as we become more aware of these everyday miracles, it gets easier for us to believe that God can pull off yet another miracle and resurrect us from the dead, just like what occurred to Jesus. And the last truth that I want to bring up today is this: resurrection is daily. I know that today is Easter. I get it. It's a day that we've set apart to celebrate the fact that the grave couldn't hold Jesus. Jesus defeated death. So the worst thing is not the last thing. Life will find a way, so to speak. Hallelujah for that. But Easter is not just a one-day thing. Easter is an everyday thing. Because as followers of Jesus, we get to experience these daily personal resurrections of sorts. We get to be resurrected from violence to peace. We get to be resurrected from apathy to empathy. We get to be resurrected from fear to faith. We get to be resurrected from hostility to love and forgiveness. We get to be resurrected from despair, which some of you are feeling right now, to hope. And we even get to be resurrected from just blindly accepting the status quo into a revolution of love that God is inspiring in our hearts. We get daily resurrections. So yay for the one day that we celebrate Easter, but we can really celebrate it every day, because Easter is an everyday thing. All right? And then we're going to end our time, and I just put Pete on the spot this week. I just got an inspiration in my head, and I wanted Pete to do a special song that's all about how the grave can't hold us. And it's an old Johnny Cash song that Pete is going to do on the mandolin, and it's going to bring a smile to your face and hope to your heart.
For those that know this Johnny Cash song, has different words.
Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave.
Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Love's my redeemer, I'm up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna rise up on the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Fear is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant, telling me to run. Love is a resurrection, love a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon, I'm gonna take my giants down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. And life there on the tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. I went down to hell and took all every key and rose up as a lion, now setting all the captives free. There ain't no grave gonna hold his body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold his body down. Heard the trumpet sound, he rose out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold this body down.